KFAI-FM, Minneapolis-St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Yeah, I really enjoy actually talking with folks about my artwork and doing vendor tables and talking with people in that way, but I'm really just trying to do it for the kids so that they can feel pride in who they are, where they come from, and actually do their own work. What my mission is behind all this, and that is to actually carry Native American art forward into the future.
Buju, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Co-Primo Miigwech, for joining us today. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have great conversations with amazing guests. If you've listened to the show, you know what we're talking about. And these are musicians, artists, community leaders, doctors, healthcare advocates, language warriors, you name it. They have a wonderful mix of passions, and we talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it centers around, you know, finding purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices. Leah, what's up?
Hey, Cole. Hanging in there. You know, we like to make sure we take the good and the bad as they go, as they come. And it's a tough week for me. I think kind of a tough week for a lot of people up here in northern Minnesota. We lost an amazing person here in Grand Rapids recently, a young person, mid-40s, heartbeat of the region, who was just an amazing spirit, lovely person, Jesse Davis, pouring a little ginger ale out for my dude. And so, you know, we try to be, you know, here on Native Lights, we try to be positive, you know, and we totally are. And at the same time, you know, acknowledge the tough parts that come around. So we're having a tough moment here. That's why I treasure these times that we can have in community, talking to one another, you know, boujouing around and all that. So I'm really glad to take some time to talk to a community member today.
Sorry to hear about that loss up there in Grand Rapids. And yeah, I mean, we're recording this, you know, in mid-January. 2023 was a tough year with a lot of losses, and this podcast, this show, has really been a nice, you know, uplifting thing in my life. And I hope it's been that way for other people, because it's just so rewarding hearing from all these people and the good things they're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing, Cole?
I'm doing great. I'm getting over a little COVID bout, but the fog is clearing. You know, that first day when you're just feeling a little bit better and you're like, nice, I'm glad we're going. And that's today. And so I apologize if my voice starts breaking a little bit, but no, feeling great, you know.
Good.
Yeah. But no, you know, we're doing great, and I'm glad to keep going with the show. Let's do it.
Good. Yes, yes, yes. Well, this week, I'm very excited to speak with our guest today, Stephen Standing Cloud. Stephen Standing Cloud is an Ojibwe artist. He's a citizen of the Red Lake Nation. And on his website, Standing Cloud Graphics, his digital art takes the form of prints and household items like clocks and magnets. Super fun, super vibrant art. So, Stephen Standing Cloud, buju.
Hello.
Buju, Stephen, could you start by, you know, just introducing yourself and telling us, you know, where you're from, all that good stuff.
All right. My Indian name is Gizis Makwa, and Miskwagamiwi is a guy getting in Donjipa. Sioni Kaming Inda Minawa Anoki. My name is Stephen Standing Cloud. I'm a Red Lake band member. I currently live in Grand Portage. And Grand Portage is my mom's reservation. So I'm here. My dad is from Red Lake. That's where I'm enrolled. Been here, I don't know, 6-7 years. And prior to that, I was here another 7 years. So I've been here quite a bit, living in Grand Portage for a while.
Great. How are you doing? How's the family doing?
Good. I stay here with my daughter, and I have cousins in the area. I grew up in Minneapolis and went to college there, and moved away in about 98, started working for a reservation, working for my own reservation and in the area of economic development. I worked with Mille Lacs and worked with Grand Portage for a number of years. So my major was, I got an MBA from Carlson School of Management. So I've used some of that education to help with some of these tribes I've been working with.
You went to Carlson?
I'm a Carlson School of Business graduate.
Wow.
I forgot the year I graduated. I think 96.
96.
Yeah.
Cool. So I did one semester there. Called it good.
I managed to last a couple of years and graduate, so it was really hell.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what you're thinking about these days? Is there anything that you're just like mulling over, thinking about, anything you want to get off your chest? What's at the top of your mind?
Usually around this time of year, I always think about getting ready to go to the various vendor shows and putting together some of my art. And the way I do that is I create graphics using Photoshop and put together images, and I've been doing that for a number of years. And at times I can take the same images that I've created and put it all together and recreate it in a different type of graphic. I make various things, prints, frame prints, matted prints. I do a lot of clocks, and I've done things like boxes. So this time of year, you know, of course, we just got through with Christmas, and that is a pretty busy time for me to get all this inventory together and put something out there that people want to buy. And people seem to continue to keep buying my artwork, so I'll just keep creating whatever, you know, I think is sellable. And it actually works every year, and people aren't really tired of my work yet, and hopefully they never will be. And November, December, I had a gallery show at ACO in Duluth that lasted a couple months, and that ended on December 29th. And so I'm just kind of winding down and wondering where my next gig is going to be. And I got a lead from my nephew who works at Mystic Lake, and there's a vendor show down there that's happening beginning of February. So I put in my application. I haven't been selected yet, but I have to put together my inventory again. So it's just kind of a big kind of panic to figure out, okay, what do I need to do? Do I have enough supplies? If I don't, where I'm getting them? So I just kind of worry about a little bit about it. And it's kind of I set a goal for myself. I'll get everything together and put as much together as I can before the show. And every now and then I'll get a chance to create some new artwork. I haven't had a chance to do that because I got a full-time gig and I'm a single father. So there's quite a bit of other things going on besides creating. And I try to do that as much as I can.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Stephen Standing Cloud, citizen of the Red Lake Nation. He's an artist whose work celebrates American Indian art and beauty as part of cultural identity and tradition. So Stephen, how did you actually get started with art? What was the origin story behind that?
I really started all of this out as a hobby when I was a young man. I worked at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. I used to paint teepee covers. So So I spent months on cement floors, and I must have painted maybe like 13, 14 large teepee covers for the Indian Center at one point. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had art, and I've always been a painter. I've done some murals on large canvas for the Indian Center. I've done my own paintings, drawings, and I really wanted to actually get into graphic design in the 80s. I think I had it in my head that I was going to get into computer art. And so I went into, started my college career, and I was looking about for programs, and I asked this one counselor if there was a computer graphic design course I could take. And he told me there's no such thing. And it was really that early on where there wasn't any computer graphic design going on. I suppose there was some going on in the television industry, but nothing for the average person to get into create computer art. And so I just decided to get into computers, and I started working in mathematics and in computer programming. And I went that direction for a number of years, and actually went into and completed a degree and just some basic general courses at the Minneapolis Community College. And, I went in there learning basic math, came out of there in calculus 5. So I really did a lot of work at the community college. And then I went into the U of M and finally graduated with the MIS degree in at Augsburg College. And then from there, I went into the Carlson School of Management in their business program, all the while not taking and doing any artwork. So after all was said and done, when I come out of it, I'm sort of out of school and established in some of these other economic development type of jobs. I really wanted to continue to do something creative with my art. And that's when I decided to learn Photoshop and create art of my own. And I asked my cousin to show me how to, because he was into it a little bit, and I asked him to show me how to do it. He said no. He wasn't going to show me. And so I said, well, forget it. I'll figure it out myself. And so I went ahead and got the application and put it on my computer, and was self-taught since then. And so I used that, and I made images, and I made greeting cards. And my cousin's wife told me to start selling stuff and making things, selling my cards and doing other things with my images. And from there, I just started putting things together and buying printers and putting together matted prints. And I learned how to cut my own mats and sort of just all self-taught. And that's how I sort of got into this whole thing about creating and selling artwork and getting out there. And I created my own business, and it's called Standing Cloud Graphics. My son named it for me. And ever since then, I've done all kinds of different things, with my art graphics, making boxes, making magnets, of course, prints, and made images for coffee tables. And it just goes, I'll make up, I'll go ahead and try to put it on something different. I've done coasters, I've done just different things, and people seem to buy it. So I just keep making it, and it's nothing that I can quit my job over, but I'm having fun doing it.
Good. Well, I want to go back to that. You mentioned at the beginning there, vendors. So I've seen your art shows and market events, and you're out there chatting folks up, selling things. What are your thoughts on Native art opportunities in Minnesota? Do you think there are like a good number of opportunities? Do you have like favorite places to go? And do you venture out elsewhere?
Well, I share a vendor space with all kinds of different artists. I know that a lot of the folks that I see out there are those who are, you know, they do things like beadwork and other crafts, jewelry. I've seen this one guy, I can't remember his name. He was doing cards, but I have not seen somebody such as myself creating prints, buy prints and matted prints and whatnot. But I think the opportunity for computer graphics is wide open. You know, there's plenty of room for different artists to share in getting these images that we create out there for our youth and our American Indian community to see, because they take pride in seeing some of the artworks that are produced. And but I think there's lots of room for vendors and artists to continue creating and sharing their artwork with the communities and making somewhat of a living off doing their work. Right now, what I've been doing the past year, and it seems to be working, is that I have got into AI art, computer generated imagery that's done by a robot, we'll call it. I use an application called Midjourney. I had a friend, she's into digital art. Her name is Marlena Miles, and she was posting some of her images that she was creating with this program. And they were really intriguing. And I asked her, I said, well, how are you doing this? And she told me, well, Midjourney, da, da, da. So I got the application up and running. And then what I've done is use some of my own language to ask the computer to generate certain images of mine. It's taken a lot of trial and error. A lot of things that I first started producing didn't turn out the way I really wanted. But as I continued on, I was actually producing a lot of images that I was happy with. And with my instruction, this computer robot will recreate these images. And I've used some of the other artists who use this application, some of their language, and I figure out how to structure different instructions in my own code. And so I've really been playing with that quite a bit. And when things are produced, I think, man, people got to see this stuff. You know, I just can't create it and file it away because it's good enough for other people to enjoy. And so what I've done was create it and enhance it, sometimes bring it into Photoshop, print it, mat it, and people buy it. I do know that there's some people out there who say it's controversial, where you're getting a computer to do these images and it's cheating and you're putting people out of work, real artists. I understand what they're talking about, but if somebody sees an image and they like it that I've created, that I want to put together and present, package up and for people to buy it, and I tell them straight up, this is all done by a computer robot, and they're okay, and they'll buy it. And so I'm going to sell it. I, you know, it's not doing anybody that I know any harm. As long as people want to enjoy in these what images that I create and they want to buy it, I'm going to continue to produce it. So that's what I've been doing, somewhat, not exclusively, but you know, there's a good part. Maybe 15% of my work is AI generated, and I've actually been able to use those images and get them out there, and it's kind of fun.
How detailed do you need to be with like the descriptions when you're typing in Midjourney and like getting this image created?
Yeah, you can actually ask the computer to create something that looks like a palette knife rendering or an oil painting or a patchwork. You can say, here's, I want you to create it look like this. And then what I've done is I use the words Native American. I'll say something to the effect, create something in patchwork of a Native American kids with sunglasses on with this kind of background and in this size, and it'll tell you what size to use, and hit enter, and something comes up, and if I like that image, I can take that same rendering and use it as a reference, and I'll tell the computer, all right, let's use this image and do it again. So use this image, create an oil painting by a certain even artist. I can say, I think I'm not quite certain of all the artists that you can actually mimic. Let's say Leonardo da Vinci, I don't know. You could say Leonardo of a Native American children with sunglasses, with stars in the background at this size, and you punch it in and it kicks out something that just is surprising. You know, sometimes when I produce these things, I look at it and I go, holy Christ, it's almost like something's coming out of somewhere that has been hidden up for all this time, and it's revealing itself. And it's almost like you're calling up different spirits, actually. You know, when I think about it, it's really crazy feeling when you think about some of the stuff that comes out of this.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Stephen Standing Cloud, citizen of the Red Lake Nation. He's an artist whose work celebrates American Indian art and beauty as part of cultural identity and tradition.
Let's dive just a little bit more into your, you know, overall art. What is the philosophy that drives your work? You discussed earlier that you enjoy when people connect to your work and relate to it. What's the philosophy behind it? What do you want people to get out of it?
You know, because I'm a woodland native, northern Minnesota, I'll use a lot of floral designs in some of my work. I've actually was inspired in my early life from my grandmother. She was a beadwork. She did a lot of beadwork, and she used nothing but floral designs in all of her creations. And so early on, those impressions of her beadwork really were plastered into my mind about exactly who I am as an artist. And so I'll use a lot of floral designs in my work. And the philosophy behind that is that when people see different floral patterns and whatnot, you know, they can say, when someone looks at those images, they can say, yeah, I can relate to this work. I've seen this before. This is who I am. There's an Anishinaabe person or whatever. They can relate to the imagery and understand, have some sort of connection between that art in themselves. And so I believe that's some of the basis that I come out with, is just understanding that people reflect when they see an image, and if they like it enough, they'll buy it and put it on their wall, and they can always look at it and refer to it and say, yep, look, there it is, there's who I am. This piece that's on my wall tells everybody who I am as an Anishinaabe person, because a lot of my folk, a lot of my customers are American Indian. So I'll do some of that. I've also done some skeleton art, we'll call it. Yeah, I can't remember his name. He's a Canadian artist, and it kind of shows these really bright, colorful images that look like they have, you can see their skeletal insides, where you got things like you can see their heart and their ribs, and so I've done some of that, and I've done moose, eagles, and a bear, and so I did some of that other skeletal work, and some of that stuff is a reflection of Anishinaabe culture into it as well, where people can see that and they can reflect and say, "Yep, I can see myself in these images." People will say to themselves when they look at this stuff. So what I want to do is just that, is create these images, people can relate to and they're attracted to, that they actually want to buy and put up on in their wall, something that they can identify with and be proud of and say, yes, this is who I am. These are some of the, these are the images of my people. Anyway, I do some of the same things using geometric designs too as well. My standing cloud name is Dakota. So I have some Dakota lineage as well. So that gives me the right to go ahead and create geometric planes images in addition to my Anishinaabe artwork.
Well, is there anything particular you're looking forward to, Stephen? Anything else that you're going to try with your art? Any new creative endeavors?
I'm trying to think. You know, I really want to say, oh, heck yeah, I really got some things going on in the hopper. And what I want to do for my daughter, I'm doing some work for her. She likes, it's called the Amazing Digital Circus, the cartoon characters. Take those characters and put native images behind them. And so it's just like a cartoon sort of feel to it with native images in the background. So I just want to create stuff. I've been creating stuff for her, you know, not that other people wouldn't be interested in it, but I don't think I have the right to say create a Mickey Mouse and put my native designs on there and sell it, you know. So I just do it mostly mm-hmm. for her.
Now you can, because Mickey Mouse is public domain. Maybe got into public domain. I mean, I would check out the fine print, of course.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, fun things like that where you're actually going, stepping out of animal figures or something, maybe create these cartoon things and put them into indigenous sort of themes and get it out there for kids. And I enjoy looking at some of that stuff as well. So
yeah, I think we got to all the questions. You know, we like to ask, do you have any final thoughts, anything else you'd like to say about your work as we close the interview out?
Yeah, I really enjoy actually talking with folks about my artwork, and because I've never really had any sort of recognition doing what I do. And so it's always fun just to get out there and be recognized for some of my work. And it's always just encouraging and inspiring. And I'm really just trying to do it for, you know, the kids and whatnot, so that they can feel a pride in who they are, where they come from, and actually take on and do their own work and can keep in doing the same thing that I've done.
Awesome.
Yeah.
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 Bringing native art forward. I like that. I like that. And helping out those who are pursuing that as well. So, Miigwech to Stephen.
Wow. Stephen Standing Cloud, citizen of the Red Lake Nation, artist, excellent talker. Very good. Really enjoy it.
I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawapamin.
Gigawapamin.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Nosso Senhor.